Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
No football game for you. Football game in Mexico. I am sorry, Sergio Dip, but we will not be needing you down in Mexico. I know you're trying to have the time of your life, but no game in Mexico. Sergio! Well, trust me, Sergio. Sergio's there.
Time of his life.
Time of his life.
Having the time of his life.
Yes, Alfred.
Oh, I see. I'm supposed to do something totally different. Sorry, John. We were just rushing through things. Johnny, come back in here during the commercial break. We'll figure it out. I just got the breaking news, Alfred, that it's done. They're going to play the game in Los Angeles after the stadium is like a disaster. So, I mean, it is the biggest game of the year in the NFL. It's a Super Bowl preview. It's the two best teams in the league. Well, I don't know. Maybe New Orleans is one of those teams, but...
Yeah, New Orleans may have something to say about that.
But whatever. It's clearly the biggest
that's
game.
That's breaking news. I mean, I was just on the air with Stokely and Zach. And
yes, it happened about 2 or 3 minutes ago.
Oh, my goodness. That is breaking news. Yeah. No game in Mexico. And that is an embarrassment.
That is...
Having the time of his
that
life.
That is absolutely an embarrassment. And the NFL should have saw this coming a little bit better so they could have gave their fan base a heads up. I mean, to make that trip out to Mexico costs. What are the fans supposed to do? Do they get a refund?
That's a good question. Don't know. Maybe they can use their tickets in Los Angeles. That stadium's pretty big.
I would imagine they can, but I mean, you've already bought airfare and made hotel accommodations for Mexico.
Yeah, change them. Southwest, you know?
No.
I don't know. Who flies from Kansas City? I don't know. Who knows? Probably.
But anyway, it's...
You got to do what you got to do. If you could... I mean,
that's a bad deal, dude.
How far is it to drive from Mexico City to Los Angeles?
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
No, seriously. How long is it? I can MapQuest that.
Go ahead and MapQuest that.
I bet it's not more than 4 hours.
I bet it is.
All right. Mexico City.
You're saying just get your passports and just cross the border to Tijuana and go ahead on to LA.
If you're going to go and you got a car. Oh, maybe that is. Oh, goodness. I didn't know it was quite that far.
You didn't know it was 33 hours?
I did not know. Mexico City's pretty far south.
Yeah, man.
I did not realize Mexico City was that
Mexico
far south.
Mexico has the same altitude as Denver, Colorado. So you know it's
I'm
not.
I'm aware of that.
You were?
Oh, my God. Wow. Mexico City. I thought it was way further north. All right, my bad. Sorry. Man, yeah, that's a...
That's a four-hour flight, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
So,
My bad.
Yeah, not cool.
My bad.
Not cool at all.
I'm not a geography expert. I don't know. You think a lot of people were traveling south of the border? Do you think it was more people from Mexico?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, yes.
That was a big vacation for Kansas City Rams fans?
Yes, man. To leave out of Kansas City to go down there. I mean, yeah, of course, man. I mean, the fan base
Well, boo-hoo. They care more about the millions that watch on TV.
That's true, too.
So we don't really care about the 30,000 people that are probably traveling to the game.
And while it is sad for the fans that we're going to go down to Mexico City, it is considered a home game for the Rams in the first place.
So there you go.
So all those season ticket holders, you know, get to spend extra money.
There you go. You should be happy. Yeah, I agree with you on this, though. How did the NFL not know that this stadium was kind of a disaster in the first place?
Right. I mean, they should have had advanced people down there 3-4 weeks ago to try to get the field in better conditions so that they could not make a mockery of this.
Well, maybe they did.
What about all the Mexican fans that are down there who wanted to go to this game?
Yeah, you're out of luck.
You know, it's just bad.
Well,
did they play a game on it?
But it would have been protected. It would have been
London,
worse.
In London, by the way, the field just tears up immediately. I mean, these aren't NFL football fields, you know. So these surfaces have to go through their own little maturation process to become, you know, able to handle 300-pound linemen and receivers running 4-3. So, yeah.
On the text line, how far is it to drive from Mexico City to L.A.? You're ignorant. Dude, how are you allowed to be on the air every day? It's astonishing. Geography was not part of the interview process here at the Fan. I don't know. I've never been to Mexico. I didn't know how far it was.
You've never been to Mexico ever?
Never been to Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, just never had an occasion to go to Mexico. Nothing against it.
Went there for my high school senior class deal. Oh, it was great. Mm.
But how far of a drive was it from Houston to Mexico?
Oh, to Cancun. I think that's like a 7 or 8 hour drive, but we flew.
If I drove 7 hours, I'd be in Montreal.
Right.
It just depends where you grow up, yo.
Right.
Or, that was great. Or where you've traveled to. So, no game in Mexico, which is the right call. It would have been way, as bad as this might be, it would have been way worse if they were playing that game. And the field was a disaster and looked awful. And it supposedly is supposed to rain all week. So, that's that. Are you against these games in foreign countries?
No. I love them. I played a game in Mexico City.
Okay.
Against the Miami Dolphins in a preseason game.
It wasn't a regular season game, though.
I'm just saying. I think the experience of traveling with your teammates to different countries are fantastic. I played a game in a preseason game in Tokyo against the Broncos when I was with the 49ers.
You said you hated that trip.
No, I love the experience of traveling with to a different country with my teammates. Oh, okay. That was great. But I mean, it just
maybe
took
that
a while.
Was TD. That's the famous TD story where he was going to leave the team and
what happened?
He was there. He tells a story about how he was going to quit the team. That was the game that he made the special teams tackle that,
right.
You know, did
right.
Everything
I was
for
on
him.
The sideline. I saw that firsthand.
TD was like, you know, like a Devontae Booker back then.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, he was just, you know, Roscoe Pico train.
Who is Terrell Davis? Just
a guy.
Just a deep draft pick out of Georgia.
Just a guy running down on the kickoff
team. One of 10 million running backs out of the SEC. Who cares, right? So anyways, that's the breaking news. The game will be in Los Angeles. It'll be Monday night. It's going to be an unbelievable game.
Really quick, if you drive from Houston to Cancun, it's 34 hours.
So you didn't do that.
I told you we flew.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So you don't know how far things are. And you're from the South.
It was a joke, D-Mac. I told you we flew. There are no close cities that we can get to.
I was fooling y'all.
You guys need to quit talking about driving to Mexico. 34 hours Houston to Cancun. I don't know, man. I tell you how far it takes to drive from Ipswich to Montpelier. That's a smooth hour and 10 minutes.
We went to Acapulco. How far is Acapulco?
Yo soy fiesta.
I don't know. Yeah, me. Anyways, so there's that. How was the war room today?
Did you just say you drove from Houston to Acapulco?
No, I said, what is the distance?
22 hours, 10 minutes.
How far is it just to drive to Mexico from Houston? Just to be in any town, the closest town in Mexico to Houston is how far?
Oh, I like 7 hours.
So you're not close. Not really.
I don't know.
It would take me 7 hours to drive.
We have airplanes, dude.
I mean,
gotcha. Golly.
I gotcha.
I have an airplane.
Listeners pointing out that you played a game in Australia. Is that true?
I did. Played in Australia. That was great. Whoa, that was a great trip. Against the San Diego Chargers at the time.
Why was that a great trip?
Oh, it
That's
was just
a lovely accent you have. New Jersey?
Austria.
It's just, in Australia, man, it's just... plenty to do.
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
It was great, man. It was great. I think that it's great to have international travels and being an athlete that has other teammates on the team to enjoy those with, man. It's just fun, man. It's just fun.
All right, what were you guys grinding on with
The war room?
The war room, yeah.
I think the prospects of the rest of the season is what everybody is looking at. And I'm like, man, you know, you have a game this week. Win the game this week.
Yeah, I don't know why you're worried about that. Just think about Sunday.
But I did bring up the fact that look how different these two coaches are that are going to see each other this weekend. Vance Joseph is on the hot seat, and Anthony Lynn is not.
Anthony Lynn is not.
Maybe what's the difference?
Coach of the year, Anthony Lynn.
Anthony Lynn took over a team with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Vance Joseph did not.
That's true.
And on top of that, Anthony Lynn was an offensive coordinator for a shorter time than Vance Joseph was a defensive coordinator.
There you go.
So what's the big difference? The quarterback.
Quarterbacks matter.
The quarterback changed the game.
Oh, I heard Evans today, by the way. He finally said who his quarterback was.
Who was his quarterback?
Because I was goading him into it. His quarterback, according to the morning show, who he wants to, you know, go down swinging with is Kyle LaLetta.
Hmm?
That's his guy. That's the guy he believes in the most from last year's draft is Kyle LaLetta.
Can't do that now. The guy's already on the team.
Well, you know, I was pressing him to actually name somebody. And he has said 10,000 times that he thinks my attitude is just pick anybody. And I have said...
You had five quarterbacks last year.
I have said 10,000 times that I view last year's draft just like 1983. And when you have a draft like that, you're going to be happy if one of those guys ends up on your team, no matter what. Buffalo wouldn't give back Jim Kelly. Denver wouldn't give back John Elway.
They would have just kept John
Miami
Elway.
Wouldn't give back Dan Marino. You can have a draft where multiple guys, and in my mind, there were five guys that were all better than any other option. And to me, that's how I explain it. Now, Mike misrepresents what I say, like, on a daily basis. Because for Mike...
Well, why don't you make a statement and to the facts that you want to present?
I don't know how else to say it, but to say that I view last year's draft like 1983. I think there's Hall of Fame potential quarterbacks there. I think there's five guys that are worth a shot. I said it 10 million times, and they would have set you up nicely, and away you go. And you'll probably see all five of them start next year, because Lamar Jackson probably will be the starting quarterback, I would think, in Baltimore. If they go away from John Harbaugh, they'll probably move away from a lot of different things, including Joe Flacco. So that's what I expect. And it takes a year for these guys to develop. And so you gotta grow with it. But, you know, Mike wanted Kyle LaLetta. I guess that was his guy. That's officially his guy. And Kyle LaLetta can't even get on the field with the Giants, and the Giants are terrible despite that great win for them last night.
Against the 49ers.
Almost everybody expects the Giants to be drafting a quarterback with wherever they finish because they're going to move on from Eli Manning, I think. Now, they do dumb things, so they may continue to do dumb things and not do that, but then again, this is not a great quarterback class. So I don't really blame anybody, Al, if they don't go with a quarterback in this draft.
Okay.
Thank you, Kyle. Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to go with a quarterback in the first round this year, I don't blame you. This isn't like last year. But it's just funny to hear, everybody speculate about how many holes the Broncos have to praise this draft and, you know, overlook the fact that you could have done something. Jets moved up. You could have moved up. You could have done something. You did nothing. But I love Bradley Chubb. That guy can play. Saw him last night at the fundraiser for Shane Ray. Nicest dude.
Nice job, Shane Ray, by the way. Nice job.
Shane Ray, fantastic. Shane Ray, how about that?
putting on the charity events, being a good dude. He's being shoved out the door. He's not going to be here next year.
Doesn't stop him from being a gentleman.
I know. It's awesome. Awesome. The vast majority of guys there, the vast majority of guys on the Broncos are great guys. Vast, vast majority. And last night was a nice reminder of it. Mark did a terrific job emceeing that event. And it was fun to be invited to it. It was a great, great night. I was able to talk with Elijah Wilkinson in a, you know, kind of a more relaxed setting than like in the locker room. And he was laughing about his dad and his brother calling us on a regular basis.
Did he hear it? Did he hear it?
Oh, he heard all about it more than he heard it. And I told him, well, you know, they've called sometimes and we've told them, you know, just maybe it's better to not be on because now you're on the team.
And now you're playing.
Well, playing. He reminded me he's a starter at guard.
Right.
He went in the second half against Houston, and he gave up
a sack to J.J. Watt.
Well, he's not the first guy.
No, he's not.
And, you know, I expect him to be starting on Sunday. I mean,
I think we did a good job building depth on this team, on the offensive line. I think we did a great job of building depth at the wide receiver position. I think we did a great job building depth at the running back position. Quietly is kept. Our tight end position is not too shabby either. Now, nobody could have foreseen injuries that happened, but I think that we are building something. You know, defensive line totally let me down this year. Absolutely let me down this year. The linebackers and the defensive line have let me down this year. But outside linebackers, they have done everything that we've asked for them, of them. Chris Harris has been great. You know, it's just, we're just missing here and there.
So, fun event last night. Bradley Chubb was there. Nice guy. Huge. I forget how big he actually is. It's crazy. And Shane Ray is a good dude, too. And, you know, let's keep our fingers crossed for a good seven games. You know, the future of the Broncos is this Sunday. I'm not exactly sure why people are going further beyond it than
I have no
Sunday.
Idea either. But, you know, this is a game
that... Because what is there to accomplish by going further than Sunday?
This is a game that has win written all over it.
I totally agree.
And I think that, you know, when you look at the coordinators and how this game really shapes up, it seems that we have been moving in the right direction, man, for a long time now.
Vegas has the Broncos as a 7-point underdog.
Yeah, I understand that.
6-point dog at home to the Steelers.
Of course, because Vegas, those lines, by the way, are predicated on where the fans are betting, not who they, you know, if there is no action one way or the other, they move the lines.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Well, I think we were like 13-point underdogs in a Super Bowl game, and we won it. So I don't pay those things any attention.
Now, I did hear an interesting point today is that how will this team come out after the bye? Will they come up energized and fired up or lackluster and this, like the season's foregone? I think they'll come out fired up. I haven't seen a lot of quit in this team. I've seen a lot of other issues, but I think they've played the games hard, Alfred. They've hung in games that they could have possibly been blown out in. They've had chances to win that just didn't quite go their way. So I guess I would be surprised if they came out just flat. Now, if they come out flat and they get their doors blown off by the Chargers and they lose by, you know, 20 points or something, well, that kind of frames the rest of the season in a different frame of mind. But what if they come out on fire? What if they pull up the upset? What if they destroy the offensive line of the Chargers and get to Phillip Rivers, cause some turnovers? Even if you let Melvin and Eckler, you know, run for a little bit. Who cares? As long as you can contain them. I'm looking forward to Sunday. I hope the players are. They should be.
I think the players are going to be fully engaged until at least December 13th.
And what happens then?
The Pro Bowl voting is done.
Right. That's a good point. There are a lot of incentives
for the players to play well that have incentive-based contracts.
All right, we'll get some more of this as we go. But
as we sit here in our first segment, I have got to get your reaction from Denver 7 that Coach McIntyre is out the door.
Well, I said it earlier, so I don't mind saying again. When you're the highest paid employee in the state, there's a level of excellence that the state is expecting out of you, and the university and the regents are expecting out of you. And if you can't attain that kind of success, then I think it's rightfully so that they move on until, you know, you just can't pay millions of dollars and
so
not get the success.
He goes from coach of the year 2 years ago to being a bum 2 years later?
I didn't say he was a bum.
All right, what
I
is
think
he?
He's a good man. I think Mike McIntyre is a good man.
Then why is he going to be replaced?
Because it's just not working. He can't win games in the Pac-12, D-Mac.
Why?
I don't know why. You tell me. I mean, that's the biggest question.
I don't know. Got me?
I mean, well, since it's a mystery to you, and it's a mystery to me, and it's a mystery to apparently the University of Colorado, then they're going to move on.
He won the Pac-12 South 2 years ago. That doesn't count for anything?
D-Mac, we're 5-0, dude. 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost five straight games. One game we had a 28-point lead.
So this is just because of a bad game?
What did we do last year?
Nothing. Did not make a bowl. You won the Pac-12 South 2 years ago, then you got blown out by Washington, then you got smoked in the Alamo Bowl. And that's the only time they've been to a bowl with McIntyre. But the program was awful when he inherited them. Okay, hey, man, it caught me by surprise. I like the guy.
I really like him. I think he's a quality man. At some point, you got to win divisional. You got to win conference games. All these wins are happening outside of the conference. You got to win inside your conference.
I agree, but it just seems like.
What, too soon?
I don't know, man. I don't know enough about it. So we used to dig deep into CU during the Hawkins days, and we really just don't do that anymore. So from afar, it just feels like, it's a bummer, but it's not like some sort of death sentence. But
well,
now
I think
six years
to figure out who the coach is more than enough.
And he's not the right guy.
I don't think that we are winning in the Pac-12 the way that we need to. And you got to find a coach that can at least win in the Pac-12.
Is this all a ploy to get Les Miles?
I don't know anything about that.
Now, I will tell you this. Because my ASU connections with my son, they had a good coach, Todd, what's his face? I'm forgetting his name. But that guy was doing all right. But they definitely fired him because of Herm Edwards. Like Ray Anderson, the athletic director, used to be like Herm Edwards' agent. Todd Graham, thank you. Todd Graham led him to a bowl, had him win a few great games. I mean, everything was kind of happy. But he was definitely fired because they wanted Herm Edwards. Is McIntyre being fired because they want Les Miles?
I don't know, but if that's the case, you know, that's not a bad pickup.
Okay. So maybe that's it. I'm trying to figure it out. Because I can't imagine why the story would leak out and it would if they didn't already have somebody significant
also,
in mind.
Also, it's also leaked out to let other candidates know this job really is opening. So don't take a job over there if you're considering this one.
Now, they only need one more win to get a bowl game.
Yeah.
You don't think they're going to get that win?
I don't know, man. Every week,
the schedule
gets tougher.
Because that was a real weird deal at ASU because Todd Graham was fired, and then he coached there for another month. So he coached there in the bowl game. It's the strangest, wackiest thing in college football that actually happens. I feel a little bummed out. I like Coach McIntyre. I have no reason to disbelieve the report from Denver 7. You certainly have told me that, listen, this guy, it's not as nice as it looks. Even when they were winning, you were telling me that. So
well,
I believe you.
I said that, you know, you got to win this year. This is a big
you
year
did.
Because contracts need to be extended or cut off. So if this year would have went the way that we all hoped it was going to go, then I think you just give this guy a long-term extension that keeps him comfortable as the head coach for a while. But if it doesn't, this is the right time to break out.
We're
going to
see
years.
A crazy emotional game on Saturday then, right?
Why?
Well, it's the last home game. It could be his last home game. It's his son's last home game. His son, Jay, who's been a terrific receiver.
He has been so tough.
Right?
His nails.
You
his
like
nails.
Jay McIntyre as a receiver, right?
You know I do.
Okay. I'm just saying, that kind of all adds up.
This feels totally different than Hawkins. You know
totally
what I'm saying?
Different.
Totally different than Hawkins because I think the man has been humble with his approach.
Oh, Jay
he has
McIntyre
been,
is a love.
No, I'm talking about Mike, his dad, is the head
yeah,
coach.
Yeah, but Cody wasn't
been,
a legit quarterback at the Pac-12 level. Jay
Big 12 back then.
Right,
anyway.
Sorry. Jay McIntyre could play in the NFL. He probably
yeah,
will.
He's tough. He's tough. He's a tough guy. I mean, right. But once again, when you're the highest paid state employee, there should be a level of excellence that goes with that.
Okay.
Intramurals!
I don't know. I was a little bummed out when I saw it. But okay. I guess.
I think the money's guaranteed, D-Mac.
People are throwing, like, you know, thinking Eric EB would be, I'm like, oh, my God. I head coach.
I don't know what the options are. I just trust that Rick George is going to do the right thing by the University of Colorado.
It's Division I football!
We come I know back, how that guy's built.
We come back. Oh, the Marquette King. Did you see the Marquette King video?
Can't wait.
We may have to do that after the Big Three. It might deserve its own segment, but we got the Big Three next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Big story just happened within the past half hour. The NFL game on Monday night, Alfred, has been moved from Mexico City to Los Angeles because of the horrible field conditions down in Mexico City. Al, what do you think about that decision being made today?
Well, I think that it's not good for the NFL fan base, and it's not good for the NFL abroad, because you're looking to extend the game past the borders of the United States, and doing this, you know, the week of the game doesn't make sense to a lot of fans who have bought tickets and made hotel reservations and have non-refundable options that they can't deal with. Well, I'll tell you this also, but for the players, it's the right thing to do, because you make sure that they're healthy and there are no major injuries because of the field. So on one hand, I think it's crappy that the fan base that have bought tickets for this event, you know, if this was the Denver Broncos playing there, we'd have 40, 50,000 people traveling down
hey,
there.
I've got a quirky question for you. The Rams are here in Colorado training at the Air Force Academy, so they would get used to the altitude. If you're the Rams, you just stay here and train the rest of the week?
No, go home. Game is in Los Angeles.
But you've made all the arrangements. You're bonding as a team. None of that matters. You would.
It could be fun.
Okay, but go home.
Go home. I mean, the game is at home, you know.
Have you spent a week in Colorado Springs, Alfred?
It is so much fun. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Tejon is
watch
rocking.
Out. Could be in a lot of trouble.
Bongos.
Three.
No Le'Veon Bell in 2018.
Crazy.
The fantasy football Wild. Players are upset, but for a guy like me, I think that, especially for the running back position, a break in the middle of your career is not the worst thing that can happen to you, and especially not because of, especially if it's not because of injury. The last time we saw a guy leave the NFL not because of injury and sit out a year, because of the commissioner, by the way, was Adrian Peterson. He came back to run for 2,000 yards. This could be a good deal for Le'Veon Bell, and I think all running backs will look at this deal and see how it really works out to see if they will one day choose to sit out 1 year.
I can't believe it happened. It's remarkable, but he's a man of his convictions, and I'm not exactly sure what he's looking for, who's going to pay him. He'll find work, that's for sure. He's Le'Veon Bell, but I kind of like the move, because I think it'll extend his career a little bit, too.
I said the exact same thing. Now, Stokely was under the idea that, hey, why not just play for the $14 million contract, put $1 million on your insurance policy so that you could be guaranteed the $30-plus million that you were looking to make and play the season? I'm like, well, why don't you just get the $30-plus million in a guarantee?
Yeah, next year.
And then, you know, continue to play.
Yeah.
I think it's not, you know, I hear a lot of people saying he'll never make that money up. Well, he never made it. So somebody's going to give him a chance to be a multimillionaire. The deal was not close to being what Todd Gurley got in guarantees. Sorry, that's the way it's supposed to work when you're negotiating in good faith.
He stuck to it. He called their bluff. And now he'll be a free agent. Bongos.
Three.
The rumor has Coach McIntyre out at CU. Alfred, if that is true, who would be the best replacement and why?
I really don't know. I have not been paying attention to that job as much as I have to the one here with the Denver Broncos, because it seemed like that one was solidified. And the loss to Oregon State, I think, put everybody on notice, because it was such a heartbreaking loss. And trying to become bowl eligible in the last two games, one home game and one on the road, it seems like a big ask. It seems like every week they've been playing for their jobs there after that loss. But I don't know, D-Mac. I don't have an idea about what's going on.
Okay. The vibe I get, it's all about Les Miles. But, shoot, I don't know. It caught me by surprise. Bongos.
Three.
Did Eli prove that he's the man last night against the 49ers?
Proved he had a good game. Proved that he's capable of having moments like that. But he'll be moved out next year. Maybe for Kyle LaLetta, Mike Evans' favorite quarterback.
Is he a starter in the NFL?
Not anymore. He's not, no.
Is he a backup?
Probably not.
Does he retire before he's a backup?
I don't know. I don't know Eli well enough to know if that's the case or not. Peyton didn't want to be a backup, that's for sure. So I'm not sure how Eli is wired on that. It could be a case where they draft a quarterback. Eli is a starter, and it's more or less known that at some point he's going to hand it off. I just don't know if he's built like that or not. Now, Peyton would never do that in a million years. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. But Eli might be a little bit different than his brother.
They've made a lot of money in their careers. I don't think either one of them look to be backups.
Hold on, though. We've always said play as long as you can, though, right? And we don't begrudge guys for playing if they want to, correct?
No. Oh, no.
So if he wants to take on a Josh McCown sort of role and get a couple more years out of it, then I'm not going to begrudge him on that. How old is Eli?
He's like 39.
Is he really 39? He's that old?
Something like that.
Well, listen, the guy is a Hall of Fame worthy quarterback. He's got two
Super 37.
37. Tom Brady's 41. If Eli wants to hang on for a few more years, that's fine by me. But they are going to have to move on in New York. Bongos.
Three.
But it was a nice win for him. Really nice win for him.
By the way, have you been seeing Fultz, the number one overall pick, shoot free throws lately?
Yeah, he's got the Charles Barkley. He's the Charles Barkley of free throw shooting.
I don't know what's going on with this young man.
It's crazy.
But you talking about looking like the biggest first pick bust ever? Starting to look like that.
Staggering. He should go underhand.
Have you seen him shoot a three-pointer?
I haven't really. I haven't paid much attention
D-Mac,
to him.
You got it, man. Something's going on with him that wasn't there in college.
That is disappointing. I did see Porter Jr. drain like 8 threes in a row at Nuggets practice today.
What?
I did see that. That was cool. Okay, Marquette.
That's the future.
Yeah, that is going to be nice. That is going to be a super nice piece.
Get your season tickets before that happens.
Marquette King. It's all the Broncos coach's fault. You'll hear him say it next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I'm just on NFL.com, and they're going through the bottom of the power rankings. And I have not come across... Oh, there we are. Denver Broncos, number 20. You know, that's probably just about right there, Al.
It's probably where the Broncos really are. It's probably all right. That's probably...
just out the playoffs.
Well, there's only 12 teams that make the playoffs.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
So they'd be way out of the playoffs.
Okay.
According to this.
Just out the playoffs.
Well, okay. However you want to look at it. But I'd say that's about right. I think that's kind of where they sit. I think that's who Case Keenum basically is. I think that's always what he is. I think there's potential there. I think it's a winnable game on Sunday, and we can dig into that. But I do want to ask you about Marquette King. Did you see the video?
No, but I know you'll explain it to me.
In the video, Marquette King is on some sort of beach, really nice property. And he's doing rehab, and he's talking about how severe his injury was. And he goes on and 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 on about his injury. And he's doing rehab on the beach by himself, which is definitely not set up just for the film crew. Can you hear the eye roll with that? But he wanted someplace that was really cool to, you know, work out in. And then he has a massage therapist come over, a blonde woman, and she brings a table. And then he starts describing the region of his groin that is most affected. That is literally what happens. And then we find out what happened in Denver.
Yeah, my first couple of practices.
Oh, by the way, there's dramatic music throughout this whole thing as if we're... I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but there's dramatic music through this whole thing.
Yeah, my first couple of practices of OTAs, and it's like, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to change some things in your technique. You got to punt regular to the right, and when you want to punt left, you got to drop the ball like this, and you got to swing your leg across your body. My whole career, I've always walked the same direction I was going to kick the ball to, and now they're telling me to walk this direction and kick the ball over here if I want to kick it that way.
Are we following this, Al? His allegation is that Tom McMahon specifically, he's the special teams coach, right? Or Chris Gould, who's the assistant, who's a kicking specialist.
I believe him, by the way.
You do?
I absolutely believe them because every coach tinkers.
Mm. All right, here's the rest of it.
And the more I kept doing it, the more my legs are there. This whole offseason, I put all this work in to do things the way I normally do it, but then all of a sudden, you're asked to change it right before the season starts, and it just throws everything off. You start getting scared. Like, I really started getting scared. Like, I wasn't comfortable, and I even told the head coach, I don't feel comfortable doing this. I'm going into this season with no confidence because y'all are asking me to basically make every punt a special situation.
So his allegation is that the special teams coaches changed everything about how he kicks.
Or at least to the left.
And then he went to Vance Joseph to say, I'm not comfortable with this. And Vance Joseph basically said, well, too bad. Just go ahead and do it. You're believing this, huh?
Well, absolutely. I know how this business works.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Wow. That's amazing.
I kind of
amazing.
Hold on, D-Mac, I kind of had the eye roll thing as well. But what did the Broncos do with DeMarcus Walker, fresh out of college? They asked him to be a player that he was not when they drafted him.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
To learn the professional game while changing who you are as a player,
guys. If you really believe him, I thought this was the biggest.
I'm not saying that all the blame goes on the Broncos coaching staff.
He's never been that bad.
But my point is it's not out of the realm of possibility for a coaching staff, especially this one, to ask a player to completely change who they are.
Well, the difference is, you know, the Broncos play a different defense than Florida State does, but it's punting.
Broncos play a completely different defense than they do at North Carolina State as well. Bradley Chubb's translating just fine.
This is, they've had to make some, okay. This is punting, though. So you guys actually believe him on this, that the Broncos, I'll ask Tom McMahon on Friday then. Did you coach Marquette King to swing his body? Change his technique.
That's all you need to ask.
And led to injury. And I'll ask Vance Joseph specifically, did Marquette King come to you complaining about having his technique changed and you insisted that he go with what they were telling him to do? Because that's what King says right here. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though, because everybody thinks I've got some sort of personal beef with Marquette King, which I don't.
I think the guy's just revealing himself who he is. So you're believing this.
Did they ask him to change his technique? Absolutely.
Why do you think they would ask a free agent punter who they're paying millions of dollars to change his technique?
I don't know. People do it.
But why, though?
You know what, D-Mac? That's a good... I almost cursed. That's a good question. Why, when a guy has had terrific success doing one thing, do you ask him to change to do anything else?
Yeah, my guess
that's
is
that's always that's always the question, but there's certainly frustration in my voice because I've had coaches do that to me too.
And Peyton Manning was asked to go under center and hand the ball off, something different than he did too. But this is punting.
But once again, and you have a great punting coach. You have a great special teams coach who is renowned in his approach to the game.
So you think McMahon will say, yeah, we did ask him to do some different things?
Yeah, no doubt.
You really think on Friday that's when he talks?
I don't know if he's going to admit to that or not.
You realize, like, Case Keenum said he was told by Bill O'Brien, you'll never be more than third string, and Bill O'Brien categorically denied it. So somebody's fibbing.
Okay.
I just thought the whole thing was like crazy.
No, the video looked crazy.
Man, I mean, listen,
there are a lot of ball players that roll with us every day, and I'm guaranteeing you.
You believe Marquette King?
I'm guaranteeing you that every last one of them have had a coach to tell them to do something that they had never done before.
I understand that, but you think that's the case with Marquette King?
If he's saying that they asked him to,
you believe Marquette King?
Tweak his technique? Yes.
Wow, I don't.
And he said,
I think the guy is full of crap.
Okay.
Well, and he got himself hurt, and he's out of the NFL, and he's trying to make this video to appeal to teams to give him a chance, and he's blaming the Broncos.
You didn't even mention he was casually sipping a glass of wine the entire time.
He was casually sipping a glass of wine. I don't really care about that. He's a punter, and he talks about getting hurt.
Especially the game came around Monday night. We've gotten to a point to where they've basically taken
Very
hands
dramatic.
Off me, let me do what I do. Tyreek Hill's the best punt returner in the NFL, so I just refer back to what.
All right, so now in the Kansas City game, they're done coaching him. They're just letting him do whatever he wants. You caught that, right? So whatever was happening before the season, now that's done, and he can just do whatever he wants. Okay.
Off me, let me do what I do. Tyreek Hill's the best punt returner in the NFL, so I just refer back to what I normally do, just Aussie the ball to him close to the sideline. We get in the game, I punt the first one, you know, run the ball up the sideline, try to get ready to make the tackle, get close to him, and I just get shoved out of bounds. I get up and I start walking, I'm like, this don't feel normal, like I never got hurt playing the game, so I'm walking, I'm like, I cannot move my leg forward, like it hurts, and I'm walking on the sideline just in disbelief, like, man, I really just got hurt, like, this ain't real. You hear the coaches like, third down, fourth down, punt team alert. I'm trying to suck myself out, like my leg still hurts. I ain't know what else to do. As soon as I catch a snap, so I walk in, as I'm swinging my leg, it hurts so bad. I don't think I felt pain this bad ever.
I'm not denying that he might have been hurt. The dude definitely could have been hurt.
I mean, but guys
give
play
me a
hurt.
Break.
Guys play hurt all the time. The question was he injured?
Right.
The difference between being hurt and being injured. That's something that a veteran would know.
I saw the video, and it seems, I mean, listen.
So he did not get injured punting the ball. He got injured being shoved to the ground.
That's what he said.
Well, that's a whole different story, D-Mac. That's not him being hurt from his technique. He got hurt from being shoved to the ground.
He said it was both. It's crazy talk. It's crazy talk. Crazy talk.
Marquette King is not employable in the NFL anymore after the stunts that he just pulled in the last year.
All right, football for us next.